It's another side that, like, wants to take more. It wants to go that one more round. Because, like, going that one more round when you don't think you can, that's what makes all the difference in your life. You know what I mean?
Welcome to another episode of One More Round, the Rocky Series podcast. We'll start with you, Katie. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you both?
Doing well, Kyle.
I'm on the precipice of despair.
Uh-oh.
Not really. I'm doing okay.
No, I'm glad we're all here and I'm glad we're all doing good. I can't believe it's already been 2 weeks. Every time I message you guys, I was like, it's 2 weeks. So thanks for, as always, guys, for joining us. It is the goal today, listeners, that we are going to finish the movie today. I think there's enough left of the movie that we don't have to do two episodes out of it. But if it goes there for natural discussion purposes, that's fine. But the intention is to finish the movie today. There's very little business to take care of today. No Sly gossip other than the Sly Stallone family show starts in February, I believe, on Paramount Plus.
I'm more excited for Tulsa King. And that, of course. Does anybody know when that's coming back?
Unknown, but it is in production. It's officially going to be a season two. It's going to happen. But to tie us over, we have the Family Stallone show, which I enjoyed. I liked it because I watched it with my wife. And so maybe that's kind of why I was partial to it, because my wife watched it with me. So it was nice just to share that with her. She enjoyed it. She just enjoyed it. And she's not a huge Sly fan per se, but she actually just enjoyed the Family show. So that's something that I can look forward to doing again with her. But we have one email.
We do, from Bruce Lombard. Ryan, Kyle, and Katie, hello. How are you all three doing? Your Rocky III podcast episodes have been fantastic. Thank you for reading my previous email messages during one of the Rocky II podcast episodes. That first email, including background information on Polly's beloved Four Roses bourbon, after seeing Ryan's screenshot of his pre-order for Frank Stallone's Uncle Frank's bourbon, I plan to order a bottle myself. You should let the Rocky listeners know.
Well, I guess I can let the Rocky listeners know, but this is strictly for the Ramble listeners. Some of the Rocky listeners do listen to Ramble and vice versa. But if you're listening just to the Rocky podcast, I do run a Ramble podcast. You can Google it. It's called It's a Long Road, the Ramble Series podcast. So Google it and you can listen to that as well. And Dom, my co-host and I, what we've done is we've ordered Uncle Frank's bourbon. We got the pre-order in. It was free shipping to Canada, by the way, Kyle, if you want to order it yourself. So it's $50 for 750 milliliters.
That must be, that better be good bourbon for $50 for like 24 ounces.
Frank, plug your ears, because I was willing to pay up to $150 to get that bottle in my door, because I need to drink this on camera. So anyway, so here's the invite. So if you're listening to the show, the invite is on the Ramble podcast, Dom and I are going to have a drinking episode. Anyone that orders the drink and breaks the seal can drink with me and Dom. They have to break the seal with us on camera, and we're all going to do a taste test together. On air live, and we're going to bring on like one person at a time. So Dom and I are going to take a shot every time with a new person. So we might be a little bit hammered by the end of the episode, but Bruce will be one of those people. So Bruce, you're invited to come on with your Uncle Frank's bourbon, and we're going to do that end of March, beginning of April. We're going to have that episode. So check it out. It'll be fun.
That does sound super fun, because we did the pour one out for Bert and you declined to join us.
Yeah, now you're like, I'm just going to drink till I pass out. But no, you can't do one shot.
I'm teasing. I feel like you should get a kickback, because half of all these purchases are going to be from your show.
Frank's like, oh, geez, my sales just doubled. Mm-hmm. I sold 8 bottles instead of 16.
You deserve a kickback. Yeah, it's a really great idea. I think it's going to be fun. Thank you. Bruce goes on to say, I'm sure there are some other cool fun facts and differences I may have missed. The novelization was written by Robert Hoban, based on an original screenplay by Sylvester Stallone. It would be interesting to know if Hoban based the novelization off Stallone's final screenplay or one of Sly's early drafts. Thanks once again to all three of you for doing such great work on this podcast series. You each bring something unique to the table. Sincerely, Bruce L. from Minnesota.
Minnesota. Well, great. We have a listener from Minnesota. I didn't know that.
I love Minnesota.
I have not been to Minnesota, but I have. Has anybody been watching the latest season of Fargo? It's set in Minnesota.
Say no more. I love Fargo. I love that series on TV, on cable. It's an awesome series, but I haven't seen the latest. So
John Hamm is in it.
Yeah, I should watch that. My dad's side of the family actually goes back to Fargo, that area.
Oh, wow.
I should get to know where I'm from.
I've never been to North Dakota either. I've been to South Dakota. Each season is entirely different. They don't have anything to do with each other. So it's
a universe. It's the Fargo universe.
Yeah. And
it's different timelines too. Some are in the past, some are present. I love it. Every season is amazing. I still recommend watching in order, but every season is amazing. Incredible actors. They got from Kirsten Dunst to Martin Freeman. They got a lot of great actors on this
show. Oh, yeah. They do get tons of famous people. But anyway,
Chris Rock did a season two, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. So. The last one. And I was just going to thank Bruce for the email.
So he actually gave us other tidbits, which I might share in season four. If we have a slow email day, I'm going to keep that email and just share some of the tidbits from it. Just, you know, go back in time.
I see those at the bottom. That's fun. Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah. So he did great work. So Bruce, it will be talked about on this episode and future episodes because you put a lot of work in comparing the novel with the film. So thank you. Katie, when we get to those scenes, if you're okay, you can speak to the email about the trivia there, but the novelization with the there's just a couple little moments there that's kind of cool. All right, so let's get going, folks. Let's watch this film. All right, so Rocky just said, go for it.
Well, here we go. The war is on. We're just waiting for the bell.
Take my belt off and get that choke. Don't let this bum let you fight his fight. You're the best. You're the best.
Eagle champ.
Girl. Rhythm and power. Rhythm and power. Get that jab up. Back.
So there's the advice there. Rhythm and power. Don't do his fight and keep that jab up. That was the instructions by Apollo.
I like the sound Clubber made when they put his mouthpiece in. It sounds like an animal just waiting to be unleashed. He is excited to go beat the shit out of Rocky.
I don't think Louise is here. He might be busy going to church or something.
Yeah, man. I'm a little bit sad that he's not here.
I know.
I was reaching out to him in the comments, but usually he says yo, yo, yo. So you know he's there. But so
he's probably already drinking Uncle Frank's bourbon. He might be drunk already.
Well, you guys, today is a big football day in America. Championship games are today.
The conference championships?
Yeah.
I'm not super familiar with NFL football.
Are you ready for round one now? Get the embrace fight. And here we go.
Okay, so he's jabbing with his right. So he's fighting Southpaw, correct there?
Yes, and Clubber is actually fighting Southpaw too. Clubber switched stance. I thought he was fighting left-handed last time, and I think he is fighting currently at least left-handed.
Okay.
The way someone's fighting right or left-handed is their power hand, like the backhand. Mm-hmm. If your power hand's your left hand, you're fighting left-handed. If your power hand's the right hand, you're fighting right-handed.
It looks that way.
So they're both fighting Southpaw right now. Mm-hmm. It is kind of awkward when a right-handed person and a left-handed person fight each other. Because both their jab hands are out. It's harder to get that power shot in. I don't know. Lots of fighters fight really well against somewhat of a different handedness.
They're both southpaws, yeah?
Yeah, currently, they're both fighting left-handed.
So Rocky comes out swinging. He's dancing around, hitting Clubber in the face. He's coming out strong. He's not waiting this time. It's one of the first times we've seen Rocky kind of fight this way. In the first two films, he didn't really do that. Now he literally is coming out swinging, as they say.
Well, good which point. He did in the previous fight too, right?
But it lasted kind of 10 seconds. The first fight was power shots. He came out, wanted to end the first one quickly. He came out, boom, boom, boom. And that didn't last. Yeah. Now these are more jabs. They're more focused.
He's so svelte.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. Rocky, we expected. He's now
looks fantastic.
Hall of Fame. Another right. Stick him again. Right.
Clubber Lang doesn't know what's happening right now. He's being stunned by this style. Look at it.
So there you go. So the announcers are seeing the style difference that Rocky's performing, and Clubber's confused by it. I mean, he's going to shake it off in a bit. He's going to come back in a bit. But at this moment, he's a little bit stunned. He doesn't quite know how to operate around
Rocky. We're going to see him take some cheap shots in order to be able to hit Rocky. When you do hear Clubber, when Clubber takes a swing and misses, the way it sounds, you hear this whoosh through the air. Had that shot connected, that would have really done some damage. It reminds the audience that Clever Lang is extremely powerful.
Oh, good point. Good point. I don't know if we see this a lot in the earlier fights. Rocky's hitting Clever like straight on in the face. I feel like that would hurt so hard. Straight on to your nose, not from the side.
Well, that's why Rocky in the first film is talking about how rare it is for boxers not to have a broken nose. Mm-hmm. You get hit straight in the nose, for most people, it's going to break. Clever kind of has a flat nose.
Yeah.
Which helps. Rocky has this pointy nose.
And that's surely to get broken.
Yeah. Like he has this thin, pointy nose. So you'd be like, how did this nose not get broken, given your style of fighting?
Oh, I just realized, well, there's nobody here. It's my fault. You didn't announce this.
Oh.
Yeah. I was going to say,
are you going to do that real quick?
We are live. Yeah, in our Discord. Sorry. I was like, why isn't usually everyone comes? They're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I didn't.
Yeah, and it's the last episode.
I worked 12 hours today, rushed back, got my shower, ate my food really quickly, got everything set up before I went to work, but I forgot Discord. So that might explain why nobody from Discord's here. We'll see. Maybe Luis will show up. And if he does, my apologies to Luis. Okay. So, yeah, so Rocky's coming out swinging. He's looking great.
Rocky's landing these shots. From a points perspective, he's dominating Clever. Rocky's clearly winning this round. Clever hasn't even landed a shot. Rocky's landing a ton of shots. Clever does not seem to be physically affected by this. He hasn't been wobbled. Like, he could eat those shots, no problem. If you're in Rocky's corner, you got to be thinking to yourself, how is this going to end? You're not going to be able to knock Clever out with this style like this, with just throwing these jabs. You'd have to take it to 15 and then start landing the power shots. But then earlier, like, they're like, we got to put him away early. So I don't know what they're thinking here. This is a great way of doing it, though, if this fight went long.
Mm-hmm. Good point. But he starts throwing bigger punches soon, doesn't he?
He just did. He did a couple of power shots for sure, yes.
So I'll comment later, but okay, I'm setting this up. I'm planting a seed here.
Sure. Plant your seeds freely. People are joining from Discord. Thanks, guys. Sorry for late notice. I was like, why isn't anyone joining from Discord? Because I forgot to announce it. So sorry, guys, for late announcement.
But he can't corner the three-footed challenger. It's absolutely unbelievable.
Come on, Tyson. Hit me.
That right hand is...
Clever's starting to figure out a little bit. As we know, Clever is designed to be tough. He's strong. He's not weak. And so he is able to take punches from Rocky. He has taken them. He's eaten them a little bit. And we're going to learn later the strategy, of course, is the fatigue. But right now, he is taking the punches. He's feeling a bit of a sting, sure. Clever's not an idiot. I think we sometimes forget that he might be a lot about power and stuff. But he didn't become a number one contender by being a complete moron in the ring. Like, he knows how to fight. He's starting to figure out a little bit of Rocky's stance here, what's going on.
The risk of Rocky's strategy here is that what Rocky's doing is very tiring also.
Mm-hmm.
He's moving a lot. Yeah. He's throwing a lot of punches. If Rocky did exactly what Apollo told him to do the entire fight, this fight would be like Rocky 2, where Rocky would be dominating on points right up to the end, and then Clever might come in and just knock him out.
Because we see in the style, the dancing around, because he's like rhythm, power. That's exactly what happens when Apollo meets his demise. He expends all of his energy, and then this big strong guy is there to pulverize him.
Yep.
Clever's stance is extremely wide here. Yeah,
he's carrying a lot down there, that's why. So all right.
That's conducive to him taking his big power shot, right?
Oh, here we go from Donald. That's crazy. Donald says, congrats, guys. Another great season. You guys were one of my inspirations to start my own podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Donald. That's a very nice comment.
Well, see, that's what we do. We inspire other people to greatness. That's what we do here on the show. I love this.
No, they're like, if they can do it, anybody can do it.
I was just going to say, yes. These two. Nahan says, that right is just like a trip hammer. So again, mentioning Rocky is just quickly releasing these jabs. The announcers are finding his fighting style unbelievable. They're blowing away. They're letting the audience know, of course, the moviegoers know that he's a different beast right now than we've ever seen him before.
Be a huge shock to anyone who's watching this.
Sure.
Like, he's fighting completely different than he's fought at any point in his career. This is nothing like what anyone's ever seen of him. I don't think anyone could expect him to really be like this, even though he was training with Apollo. Like, it is difficult to completely change your style of fighting.
First round.
So we've seen already that Clubber is fighting back, but we've already seen for the first time in Rocky's career, he's dodging. He was going underneath. And he's literally just big power swings are coming in. But I think there's like five or six that he went under, if I'm not mistaken with the count there.
He took a few, but he didn't seem to be too affected by it because he's still Rocky. He dodged even more than that. If I was in Clubber's corner, what I tell Clubber to do is I'd be like, you got to go to the body. That's your way to slow Rocky down. You hit him in the body. But Clubber is a headhunter. I know the announcer said he likes to hurt a man to the body, but you only see him do a couple body shots the whole time.
Oh, we're getting a chat here from Twitter. I didn't know Twitter can give us chats. That's a new feature, I think. So this is from Scott Angle. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show. He said, when Apollo mimics Rocky's punches from the corner, it is so telling of what he did for Rocky. In the novel, he originally... Hey, we got some more novel talk from Scott. In the novel, he originally wanted to fight Clubber himself, but he instead trained Rocky to do it himself in the style he knew he would work for Rocky. Funny that Scott brings that up, because actually that was one of the pieces of the novel that I took out of Bruce's email, not to share on this episode, but that Apollo in the novelization was very much considering. We talked about, you know, that he wanted to, like we assumed he did, but we were right in our assumptions. Sly wrote that in the script. That was in Apollo's thoughts, that he truly wanted to come out of retirement and drop this chump on his own. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. That's very insightful. And that's great that the movie showed that, even if it wasn't in it. We got that from it. The sound effects. So I had forgotten, and I'm pretty forgiving with the sound effects typically, but that first one a little bit ago, there was a sequence of them, but the very first shot that Clubber lands, or maybe it was Rocky, the sound effect was so loud, laugh out loud moment, the sound effect was. And then also, this, again, I am very forgiving. I like Clubber as an antagonist. However, he's not very good at showing himself receiving punches. It's just like his head going back like this.
It's the funniest Clubber or Mr. T's head movements. There's some kind of bad angles on the camera where we see the punches that Sly's throwing missing Mr. T. The actor, like they're missing each other, but in the movie they're hitting. So some obvious misses, but they're moving like they've been hit. It's just one of those things you start noticing when you watch the movie 100 times. But what I love too about the sound effects is that's actually what Sly took out of his recut of the fourth Rocky film. Mm-hmm. Was he changed the sound effects to make it sound more quote unquote realistic and not so comic book style like they are in this film in part four. They're very big and crunching, but I think it's some ways kind of effective because it's supposed to just tell the audience how much this is hurting each fighter. That's how much power they're throwing at each other. Okay, so those there. Now we're talking about how those original punches weren't really hurting Clubber. We're seeing here, we're starting to chop them down. That's hurting Clubber. Now those punches there, you can see in his face and the way his head's being canted to the left or right or whatever, that those aren't ineffective punches. You know, if you had a health bar like in a fighting game, we're seeing some of the we're seeing some of that going down on Clubber right here. This is wearing on him because this fight doesn't go very long. So these punches do matter to Clubber's eventual knockout. That's a big round for Rocky. What do you guys say?
It is. Okay.
I think Clubber maybe landed 5 shots. Yeah. Rocky landed God knows how many. Rocky totally dominated Clubber in that round and frustrated him, tired him. It's like the first round in Apollo and Rocky's fight where Rocky got a couple jabs off, but like really Apollo just beat the shit out of him that whole round. It is that in reverse this time.
So Bruce says in the novelization, he says in the second fight, Rocky knocks Clubber down in round one. Clubber gets up quickly, and then the bell rings during Clubber's standing 8 count. So that must have been what happened in the novelization.
So it happened in the novel. So what that indicates is what we're seeing here is that that's how badly he got beat in that first round. That he, in the book, he got knocked down. In the movie, we don't see that happen until the third round. But that's what we're seeing here is that Rocky damaged him enough to put him on the mat in that first round.
And I actually appreciate what they showed us in the movie is better. It would have been too much to get knocked down. Mm. So I like that we just saw him get hurt a little bit instead of getting fully knocked down.
I always love that part when he goes, He does a big guttural yell when his trainers are holding him back. I think why they do that too is one is showing that he's angry, he's frustrated. Have you ever wrestled anybody after like 30? It's you lose a lot of wind. He's losing energy by fighting four men trying to get a rocket.
Yeah.
So he's actually exerting. They're purposely, I think, Sly, the director slash writer. I think he's purposely showing that Clubber is just not thinking straight. That anger and that energy he's just to get to the corner. Instead of walking to the corner, he's walking against the current of a heavy river. Like, just go with the river, but he's not. He's fighting the current, and he's losing energy just to get to the corner.
Agreed. For the movie's sake, I love it when the corner people have to come tear the fighters apart. It happens more than once. But to your point, Ryan, then the fighters, it's not logical. But they can't help themselves. I love it when the announcers, again, not the only time that they say it's absolute pandemonium.
I love it. They must love doing the Rocky fights because they get to see so much chaos. I love it.
And once more, he can't realize the round is over.
See that again? He's still fighting. He's still fighting to get a Rocky. Even Rocky's just casually going back to his corner. Clubber probably almost expended as much energy fighting not to go to his corner than he did that whole round.
He's not wasting no energy, that's for sure. Oh wait, he is wasting energy. He's wasting a ton of energy. You know, he's going to pay for it in the later rounds.
Clubber's going to come back stronger in the second round. This will be a bit more of Clubber's round. We'll see how this works. Let's see what the quartermen say to their fighters here.
Oh, great, huh? Just don't get crazy. We're home.
Get you, man!
Man, strong.
I'm gonna get that smart. I'm gonna kill him.
Now he's gonna come hard, right?
Yeah. You keep grounding. Don't give him a chance to set.
So counter and move. Counter and move. Counter and move.
Initially, his thing was rhythm and power. Now, at the beginning of this, is counter and move, which is kind of similar to the stick and move, which is a real thing. Stick and move. Counter and move tells me that you have to counter whatever Lang throws. Like, stick and move is more like you taking the initiative, I think. Like, you're going to stick him with whatever shots you're going to take, and then you're going to move away to not allow him to counter. But this time, it's Lang's going to be coming out swinging big time now, they think. You have to counter it and then get out of the way and move.
I don't think Lang knew what hit him there in this whole first round. Here we go now, the battle.
But Rocky is still landing those.
Okay, do you notice the camera there in the ring in the middle? That's actually a film camera.
Oh,
so
really?
You have what? Yeah. So you have some cameras that are quote unquote the prop cameras for the broadcast that people would see on TV. But the ones with the big wide screen in the front there, that's actually for the film.
Good tidbit. Like,
I want to pay attention here too, because right now Clubber is in a right-handed fighting stance. He's in a left hand. Sorry.
I was just making a joke. Like, he's switching. He wants to do the tricks. He's like, I'm going to trick Rocky with my
sword. I saw Rocky do it. If you could do it, I could do it.
I saw him doing part two. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Clubber's coming out swinging. We knew that he's angry. Like, he's able to kill him. So he's coming out strong. He's coming out angry. That's to be expected. This could be a little bit more of Clubber in the second round.
Rights and left. That's right now in the center of the ring. A right to the head. Another right to the head. He's really setting him up. A right. Five unanswered shots.
Actually, I don't know about this about boxing. Are you allowed to push people in boxing, Kyle?
I don't think so. I was thinking about that earlier because I knew this was going to happen.
Right.
I've seen it. But I think in general, you're not really supposed to shove someone in the corner and then start punching them. That's what I was like alluding to earlier with Clubber's cheap shot, because he knew he couldn't outbox Rocky. So he just shoves him into the corner to get him off balance, then starts landing shots, which Rocky should have done. If someone does that to you, is you cover up like this in the corner instead of let yourself get punched. But to be fair to Rocky, it's easy for me to say because I'm not getting punched in the face repeatedly. I might be like too out of it to put my hands up. So.
And who's the referee again?
Alou might as well not be there, Filippo.
Yeah, he heard Clever's corner say kill him, and Lou's like, yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, we should kill him. I'll do that in the next film, he says. I'll make sure somebody dies in the next film.
Yeah.
Break it up. Okay, so those were the cheap shots. He got him in a headlock. He's throwing him in the ring. We know, and Rocky said himself, that he is strong. And, you know, Clubber is strong. He's using that kind of street fighter or almost wrestler type movements. It's like, I can't beat Rocky with the fighting style that he's now got with Apollo. I'm going to kind of be more rough and tumble with him a little bit, wrestle with him a little bit, almost like MMA style. He's throwing Rocky, the smaller man, around the ring a little bit instead of just boxing.
What are you doing? Come on. Come on, Balboa.
So Clubber gets him in the corner and lays the beat down on him, and then they get separated. Clubber calls out to Rocky saying, come on, Balboa. Now, Rocky could have returned to his style of throwing the jabs, doing what he was doing before, because it was in the center of the ring. But he just walks out there just like in the first fight. I believe Rocky intentionally took a beating here.
Yeah, I agree fully. Well, there's a comment that Polly makes pretty soon to indicate that.
Yeah.
Okay, but do you want to read what the novelization said on this part? I think there's a comment here about Apollo's thoughts.
Bruce says, when Clubber is pulverizing Rocky in round two of the second fight, Apollo considers ending the fight. Apollo says, we should stop it. He's going to get hurt bad. Polly replies with a line from the film, he ain't getting hurt, he's getting mad.
The second round here, Apollo's nervous for Rocky, which shows his concern for Rocky, which I like. I love how Apollo's ready to throw in the towel, but not Rocky in part four.
He considered it.
No, he was told. He was told no matter what.
I like that we are shown Clubber hit Rocky so hard that he knocked to the ground and almost tumbled fully over. That's how hard he got hit.
Yeah, he was taking some punishment from Clubber, I agree, but it still didn't tickle Rocky. We'll see his reaction to going to the canvas here, too, I think.
He's got a hard head, that Rocky.
Yeah, he does.
Can you back it up? Get up, damn it! Come on! Five! Can he get up? He's trying, but he's not tough!
He's gone down twice now in 10 seconds. What's the call for the referee? Well, Lou won't call anything, but is that how much does it happen in boxing where they let the fighter get up again after?
Yeah, at this point, if he gets up, he's going to have to be very convincing that he's good to go. A referee who's not Lou Filippo would look at him. If he looked glossy-eyed at all or was like unresponsive or couldn't put his hands up, done. And I think some refs would actually call it here. Like, for example, Mike Tyson fought Larry Holmes in 1986. Larry Holmes was 38. Mm. He's past his prime champion. And Mike Tyson had knocked him down once before. And then he knocked him down again shortly and knocked Larry Holmes flat on his back. The referee who's in Rocky later on, in Rocky Balboa, Joe Cortez. Mm. He was the actual referee of that fight. So he got right on top of Larry, straddled him, took his mouthpiece off, and was waving like, no. Like, it's not even going to start counting. Like, Mike Tyson knocked him down so hard and flat that he was like, this is not happening.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that. Yeah, usually, don't they come over to them? Like, once they stand up, the ref will come over and ask them and try to assess.
A first knockdown for sure. And then sometimes a second knockdown, especially if you get up quick, then you could convince them that you're okay and you can keep going. But if you get flattened hard and you're clearly getting dominated, a lot of refs will just be like, no, not happening.
Mm-hmm. Not Lou.
All right, we'll see how Lou handles Rocky.
You have a pulse, son? Yep, okay.
So Lou just basically looked at Rocky. You're alive. So I guess you can keep, you didn't even do anything. He just kind of patted him on the head. So you got their sport.
He's like, I've seen you take worse. You're fine. It's only the second round, buddy.
I didn't recall that Adrian requested the fight be stopped. Yeah, so that goes to the point. That's probably in with the point in the novel where.
Yes, that's right. We hear the thoughts of the loved one saying stop the fight, but it came from Adrian, which is, again, ironic. The wife of Apollo says the same thing in the second round of part four, stop the fight.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like they give us the safety of their partners.
Yeah, they do. Now Clubber keeps hitting. After the second takedown, Rocky's back up again. Clubber's still attacking. He's got more moves, he said. He's got more moves.
It's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad.
Yeah, here we go. So this is where Rocky's never going down again, if I remember correctly. And I love that face shove that Sly slash the character Rocky, but I love that face shove that he does on Mr. T. That's great, great anger acting. And I love the musical cue that kicks in right when he does that.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, okay, it's on. Now the war's on again.
Rocky, his intelligence is what wins him this fight, ultimately. Like, he is psyching out Clubber Lang. He's manipulating Clubber Lang. Rocky's not really known for being intelligent, but in boxing, he is quite intelligent now. He has learned a lot from experience. And when you lay a beating on someone like that, and then they come at you, and it's like, that all you got? You ain't got nothing. This is actually reminiscent of Rumble in the Jungle. And I don't think Sly knew this at the time. George Foreman was saying that, like, he hit Ali with everything he had. And Ali was, like, known for shit-talking in the middle of the fight constantly. And he's like, is that all you got, sucker? Is that all you got? You can't hit worth nothing. He's like, oh, you're getting tired now. You're getting tired. It's only round eight. You're in trouble. You're in trouble now. Like, he's, like, psychologically manipulating him and demoralizing him in the fight. And this is what Rocky's doing in this fight, too. Clubber just laid the worst beat down on him, and this guy's just saying, like, you ain't shit.
We missed that part of the montage where Apollo teaches Rocky trash talk.
You ain't so bad. You ain't so bad. My mother hits better than you.
Apollo taught him all this stuff.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. Yeah. That's right. No, you're right. I know, because he shows it for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, I am going to have to mute it. I'm sorry, folks. I'm going to have to mute the so we'll commentate on what we see as well, because it's the music stuff that gets you. It's not the visuals and the dialogue. It's the music that YouTube blocks. It's weird. So I'm going to have to mute it, guys. The music's kicking in.
It's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid
fool. Yeah, maybe
you're
stupid.
Crazy.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you a six
times. How can he come back from a beating like that?
How can he come back from a beating like that? Have you watched this guy at all in any of his fights?
Every fight.
It's just a show again for the audience, because we know as an audience, as a movie audience, that he's going to win. So it's just, again, to kind of heighten the stress for us as an audience. There's still a chance. This Clubber is so brutal and strong. He's going to take out Rocky, but the music's changed. Rocky knows what he's doing. But Apollo is a little bit angry at Rocky's change of style. we didn't train for this. What the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing?
What the hell are you doing? What the hell are you doing?
Look, the strategy, that's all. I know what I'm doing.
No, you don't know what you're doing. He's got to come to you. You're the champ.
He's not. He's not.
You stand toe to toe with this partner, he'll kill you. It doesn't take a man to stand in there and get your head beat off.
He's getting tired.
Don't go wasting your punches. Get a jab. Don't try to take him out with one punch. Use your head. Now you wear him down. He's all ours.
I know what I'm doing. I swear I know what I'm doing.
Don't tell me what you think. Go out there and do it, Rock. I am the tiger. You understand?
Yeah. Rock, is he ignoring Apollo right now? Apollo's not crazy about the strategy.
Well, Apollo doesn't know the strategy because they've never talked about it. Rocky is doing this on the fly. Like, I don't think Rocky came into the fight thinking that he'd have to do this. I think after he took those shots in the initial shots in the corner, like when he got shoved in the corner, he figured out this is what I have to do. He had to improvise and be like, okay, I just realized that this guy is going to tire himself out by punching. Rocky can't tire him out by throwing jabs at his face for 10
rounds.
Clubber will eat that all fight. Big guys, large guys get tired quicker than small guys. Like, if you can manage to keep them punching and keep these big guys moving, they're going to get real tired. And Rocky knows that. He improvised this strategy. He's basically going to do a fusion between his old fighting style and Apollo's new fighting style.
So at the end of it, do you think he convinces Apollo? Because Apollo's like, okay, don't tell me, do it. So do you think Apollo is on board with this new strategy?
No, I don't think he realized what's happening until Paulie says, like, no, he's not getting killed. He's getting mad.
So Apollo's saying, he's just a man, he's just a man. And then he says, be more man than him, go get him.
I love Apollo. Everything he says and does, I love it.
Again, the shortest fight in Rocky's film. Not the beginning of the montage, not the montage and stuff, but the big fights in the films, I should say. Yeah. He's breathing heavy, and Rocky, of course, is just barking back at him. Come on. You can see the breathing on Clubber's face. So we're seeing the fatigue. Mm-hmm. And Rocky's coming in fast with the punches.
Clubber takes another cheap shot and pushes him in the corner. But I think Rocky knows that, hey, go ahead. Right. You're just going to punch yourself out. And then Clubber's finally throwing body shots.
Meanwhile, Tony and Apollo are like still scared. They're like, get out of there. Get out of there.
This style is so foreign to them.
Oh, so I love this. Okay. Yes. And so there's a few things right there that we just witnessed. Rocky's taunting Clubber by putting his glove on his head like a little kid, like, hey, I'm here. I'm there. Hey, come get me. And then we hear Apollo say, he's getting killed. He's getting killed. And then Polly's like, no, he's getting mad. I love it.
Yeah. Great classic line. I mean, people know the scene in their head. They can always hear it in their own heads. So I'm sorry, guys. I do have to mute it. The music gets me hit on YouTube. What I love, though, about that rubbing of the head, I guarantee it's only because he has a mohawk. If there was no mohawk, do you think Sly would have rubbed the head? Because he rubs the mohawk.
Maybe. It's hard to say.
Oh, please. Nobody ever likes any of my stuff. I'm telling you right now, if he had a normal hairstyle like Apollo, same character, I'm saying, but the same hairstyle as Apollo, I don't think Rocky would have rubbed the head. I think he's rubbing the mohawk.
Well, he may be, but the act of doing it is like a taunting thing, regardless of...
Because he has a mohawk. If the mohawk wasn't there, he wouldn't have rubbed his head like that. I guarantee you it's because of the mohawk.
I'm going to say maybe. Hey, I'm not shitting on it. I'm not saying you're out to lunch. Oh, I'm just going to say maybe.
I appreciate that. I'll take that.
It's possible. I do think that the act of
No one else thinks that. These are things that naturally come to me throughout all these years of watching the movie. I've never not thought that. I've always thought he's rubbing the mohawk because he has a mohawk.
Ryan, not all of us have a beautiful mind, okay?
Oh, stop it.
Not all of us can think that way. Sometimes you have to just stand alone knowing that you're right.
Donald's coming in.
What? I think these are Ryan's people that he paid to say this.
I think that it adds. I do think that it's extra because of the mohawk, but the act of like rubbing someone's head is just like.
Okay, you're right, Katie. You're right about saying that. But Rocky, the character, you're saying it's extra, but I'm saying, sure, it's extra. But all things being equal, that same universe right now, different hairstyle, Rocky would not have reached out and rubbed the head. The whole point is he rubbed Clubber's head because of the mohawk. He would not have done that motion had he had a quote-unquote normal generic haircut. He rubbed it because of the mohawk. That's the only reason why he rubbed it.
The confidence you have.
We'll never know. I mean, I agree with Kyle that it's possible.
So you're saying in the realm possible, he would have done the same motion had it been Apollo's hair.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's weird rubbing someone's head, mohawk or no mohawk.
The mohawk triggered the taunt. That's what I'm getting at. You're right, it's a taunt. You're right, it's all those things, but it's because he has the mohawk that the action happened.
I see what you're saying, Ryan.
I agree. Because
Rocky's like, your stupid mohawk, let me show you.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to get at. I don't know why this is a case where all the listeners are agreeing with me. That maybe. He rubbed the head because of the mohawk. Normal hair, he would never rubbed it. I'm going to be strong on this one. Normal hair, Rocky would never have thought to rub the head if it was just a normal haircut. He would have done other taunting, like my sister or my mother hits harder than you. He does other taunting.
Yeah.
... Additionally, the mohawk triggered that taunt.
I think, though, there's a difference between the verbal taunt, which is important, and the physical taunt. I know they're fighting, so you touch each other while fighting, but rubbing someone like that is weird.
Having the mohawk is weird.
So I think I think I'm going to lose this one. I'll upgrade it to a strong maybe.
I need comments either on YouTube or on our socials or an email. Again, that's a scene that naturally, over the years I've watched this film, it's always clicked my brain. He's rubbing the mohawk because he has a mohawk. Not just a head. He's rubbing the hair because of the hair.
Donald says, Ryan finally got one.
Yeah, I know. That's a good question. Is it ad-libbed or was it scripted? That's a good question. I think
it was scripted.
Same with that face push. I think Mr. T would have been game enough that had it been ad-libbed, he would have been cool with it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know either. Yeah, that's a question we might have to ask Sly.
This part, the slow-mo of Clubber's vicious face.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember as a kid, this is what I remember of Rocky 3.
Plus they show it at the beginning of Rocky 4.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this is the classic moment here where Clubber is giving him everything, but Rocky is blocking. He's got his hands up. He's blocking the big punches. And he's saying, you ain't got nothing. You ain't getting nothing. He's taking those big punches. Now Clubber's swinging and missing. And Rocky's coming back with the counters. So now we're really just seeing Rocky's taking over this. He's dancing, he's moving, he's swinging and connecting. Clubber's connecting just with blocks. Then Rocky comes up with a taunting kind of hits, just almost like a taunt. And now he's taunting him into the corner. And now is the rope-a-dope.
Even the announcers are figuring out Rocky's strategy now.
I don't recall that in past viewings that the announcers caught on as well.
Yeah, because he's like, I might believe the strategy now. He's really suckered him in.
Thanks, Louise. Louise says, Rocky is trying to piss off Clubber. He sees the mohawk and rubs it to antagonize Clubber. Point to Ryan. Thank you.
Okay. We're wrong this time, Kyle.
Yeah, I think we might be wrong. I think we might be wrong. I'm starting to lose it. Maybe I'm falling to peer pressure. I don't know.
I've got another theory. Had Katie brought this up, it would have all... Of course.
No.
I'm also a misogynist, so if she brought it up, I'd be like, nah.
Yeah.
I was kidding. Sorry, I was going to say, from my mindset, I'm always kind of like, yeah, it could be this, could be that. Recognize uncertainty maybe a bit more, but I think the mohawk thing, that argument has good merit to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not crazy. For me, it's just, I need more proof, but not a bad theory. Like, it's a good theory.
It's not on the level of Apollo's
All right. That's not enough. Enough, guys. You've made your point. Okay.
Ryan, it's a good theory. It's a good theory. I never thought of it. It never crossed my mind. And it's something that's totally plausible and could work.
I appreciate it. All right. So Rocky is now, of course, now saying that he's hitting him so hard, he's lifting him off the canvas.
Before you move it, Ryan, to your point earlier about the camera, is that the camera on the other
side? Yeah, that's a movie camera there. That's a movie
I never caught that.
I think guys look so creepy. Like, that guy on the camera looks really creepy. Something about that mustache and stuff. And
80s porn and, stash.
Is that guy on the phone there? Old man there?
Yeah, I think so. That reminds me of this clip where they think someone's holding a cell phone. And yes, it's like, well, that must be a time traveler.
Yes. There's no cell towers. I hate
that. Yeah, exactly.
If you went back in time to the 1920s with your cell phone, good luck getting coverage. Like, I could barely get coverage around towers, let alone in the 1920s.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I think it was like a mirror or something there, or something she was holding up, or some sort of.
Oh. Yeah.
But that could be like a ringside guy. And he's like, they have a.
I think it's a betting.
Oh,
line,
betting. Probably. Yeah.
So here comes the big punches. Now, of course, Apollo's doing the punches with Rocky on the side of the ring there, like we mentioned before. Clubber continues the miss.
Clubber doesn't know what's happening. Like, it could be take a punch, Rocky, or it could be fast and quick, Rocky. Like, he's really psyched out.
And the announcers say Clubber doesn't know how to defend himself. Now, this is, of course, the part here. I just want to play the sound a little bit of the flurry of punches Rocky lands. There we go. The do-do. He's gonna do it. Yeah, I love that. I just love Mr. T's head as he moves. It's such a funny movement of his head.
Probably the first time Clubber's ever been on the canvas in his life. George Foreman said that, like, when he got knocked down, that's the only time George had ever been on the canvas. Guys like that don't get knocked down, right? Like, he doesn't know what to do. He has never been in this situation before. Like, he got took out to deep water and is drowning now.
So the announcers are calling it a tremendous comeback. The count starts, of course. And what I love, watch this, though, what's coming. This scene always stresses me out.
Yeah.
I said it during the Going the Distance podcast.
It hurts. When,
Sly, to his credit, I don't know how he does this. How old is he in real life in this film? He's 36, 37, 36-ish here. He jumps up in the air and lands on his knees. I don't know how he does it. It stresses the crap out of me. So let's watch this. So the announcement is that he's out. Here we go. Ow!
He does touch his feet
a little cushion.
Yeah.
The toes do hit first, but still he bends backwards. I'm like, oh, I don't know how he does.
Imagine how fucked up that would be if, say, this was a real fight and he did that, got a career ending injury because
I know
in celebration.
Meniscus tear on his knee. It stresses me out. The announcers here, have you caught that? The announcers say he's down on the floor in ecstasy.
No, I've never caught that in ecstasy. Yeah. Wow, what a word.
Well, these announcers are great.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, they're the best. I wish they were. I think, were they fight announcers? I don't think so, but they do a great job.
Bowing, he's praying there on the floor.
Jesus,
there he is.
All these clever guys.
There are a lot of clever guys.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Nine of them.
Clubber's actual corner crew are in white. So these are guys in blue. Like, this is addition. So he has like over a dozen people with him.
Clever's getting smelling salts right now. I think this guy here, he looks like the same guy from Rocky IV when he says, "Is he alive?" He looks like the same.
The man alive.
Yeah, who's the man alive? Like, the, is this the ring doctor? Is that who this guy is?
Yeah, I think he's supposed probably. To be getting, yeah.
But Clever's like fighting it.
It's a normal reaction to smelling salts.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, like they're very, you can watch like YouTube videos of like people try smelling salts for the first time. That's what it's supposed to do. Like it's very, it kind of shocks the system.
Got it.
Okay.
Bruce, yeah, I wanted to bring up his, he says, in the film, Rocky taunts Clubber by saying, "My mother hits harder than that." In the book, Rocky says, "My sister hits harder," though the book acknowledges that Rocky doesn't have a sister. So I guess in the book he says sister. And then he says, after the fight, Clubber appears to give Rocky a small show of respect. Across the ring, through the frantic crowd, Clubber locked eyes with Rocky. He slowly raises his right hand in a single salute. Then he was gone, through the ropes, lost in the frenzied crowd. So that was in the book.
Does not happen in the film at all.
No.
Which is too bad because it shows it's a step one to his redemption arc, which we know from Sly, he became a born-again preacher. So you could say that this is the fight he needed to be, not humiliated, but humbled. He got humbled here and he gives that salute to Rocky like, you know, you did it, you beat me. And he got humbled and he left the boxing ring forever. He never boxed again. And so I kind of wish they showed that humility act by Clubber. Mm-hmm. It's too bad they didn't.
George Foreman became a born-again preacher too. He's a minister. And he left boxing for 10 years and then came back in the 80s because he ran out of money, essentially. George Foreman's extremely religious, but he didn't grow up that way. He wasn't religious when he fought Muhammad Ali. But him and Muhammad Ali became like best friends.
Oh, that's like really cool.
Like they were close till the day Ali passed away. If you follow that arc, like since he's so clearly based off George Foreman, Rocky and Clubber should have became friends later on.
Well, it's sort of like Rocky and Apollo being friends.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Rocky is exhausted, says the announcers. It's the same kind of elation music, and Rocky yells, "We did it." Ladies and gentlemen, by knockout, the winner, Rocky. And Adrian asks, "Are you all right?" And Rocky goes, "Never better, never better."
Such a classic Rocky quip.
I love the free shot they do at the end here. I don't know why it always kills me. Again, another thing I've always noticed is Burt Young placing his hand on Sly's stomach muscles. I always got a kick out of that pause frame. And of course, Rocky and Adrian hug and hold, you know, very classic. Look how happy Paulie is that he won. Just so happy. He's like, everyone's just so happy. Announcer yells the Italian Stallion, Rocky Balboa's won. Look, and here's Paulie holding the stomach there. Katie, how much would you like to have in Burt Young's position right now?
Oh my God. Well, what it reminds me of is high school dance picture. That's like what the girl does to the guy in the, you place your hand there for the picture and you show your corsage. Nobody? Oh, I see. Is this, you guys don't remember this?
No.
Yeah, I do. I just never had a date. I don't know.
For, you know, like prom. But yeah. Oh, God. I mean, yes, I would very much like to feel that.
This is the great freeze frame here. This would be a good still for me to put for the podcast episode. But they're right there. The family photo, so to speak. Look how happy Paulie is. Look at Apollo. He's just looking out to the stars. Like, yeah, you know, he lives through this a little bit.
And Tony's joyful.
Tony's smiling. And look at Adrian and Rocky just looking at each other in the eyes.
Look at him, you guys.
Well, look at him. Look at her. She's gorgeous. Like, I'm so... All right.
Yeah, look at Paulie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
I know, but this is extremely crazy.
Yeah, it's mentally irregular, right?
Yeah.
It makes all the sense in the world. You owe me a favor.
I know, but what'd you think of this?
About 3 years ago.
Oh, it's a very crazy bottle.
Look, Stallion. Now, look, when you run that last fight... You won by 1 second. You beat me by 1 second. 1 second. That's very hard for a man of my intelligence to handle.
Oh, is it? But didn't you say after I beat you, you learned how to live with it?
I lied.
Oh, you lied.
Who put their gloves on?
I was just thinking that. I was just thinking, like, who's taking them off? They should kind of bite them off. I don't know.
Yeah, you could.
They probably have some schmuck at that gym. Like,
I think we're just led to believe it's a Philly, and they probably have some sort of secret crew. The reason why I believe Creed did win this fight, honestly, is because... We all know that Creed's a better fighter at the end of the day. And I believe Apollo, when he says, you know, I taught you almost everything. I believe it. He taught everything Rocky needed to know to beat Clubber, not to beat him.
To me, it's not a debate. Rocky says he lost the fight. Unless Rocky lied.
Before we get Creed movies, we wonder. It's unknown up until the Creed movies who wins this fight.
Yeah, well, how would you know? The only way Rocky beats Apollo Creed is if he wears Creed down to the point of he can't fight anymore, and Creed is dumb and decides to go toe-to-toe right at the end. But clearly, they didn't get into that kind of fight. Rocky doesn't show up needing to be hospitalized like after the first two fights, right? Like, they fought, but they must have only fought a few rounds. They didn't have a full 15-round bloodbath.
No. It was a sparring match. You could almost argue it was a point system. You know, they're doing karate. Yeah. Like, you're not trying to knock out the person. It's a point system. So Apollo got more hits in. He got more jabs and more taps in. It's a point, not that Rocky was knocked out cold in the middle of the ring.
Yeah.
There's Lou Filippo up in the rafters. You got in there, Apollo. Just do what you got to do.
Apollo, how come you took the padding out of your gloves?
That's right. In the words of Tony in part four, it's supposed to be nice to be.
Both Donald and Tim agree that it's in Philly at Mixed Gym.
I think that's the idea, because Rocky drives home in his Lambo to the car, which, and his son ages again 5 years, which we'll get into later. I don't, that's a weird one too.
And Tim thinks that Duke put the gloves on.
That makes sense. Duke would be the one person they could trust.
Yeah.
Duke kept Adonis's birth a secret. I'm sure you can keep this a secret.
Yeah.
Wait, did Duke know about Adonis being born?
Yes, we talked about that in Creed, but that's a whole other. Go check out Going the Distance, the Rocky Series podcast, the Creed coverage. We talked extensively on how poor Tony carried that secret.
Well, also, Mixed Gym makes sense because it doesn't seem to be like in use. It's closed. It's basically, they can go in the evening. Rocky has the key, so he can open it up. So you're guaranteed that you have a private space to fight and no one's going to bother you.
Mm-hmm.
And no one needs to know that it's even happened there. So yeah, it's looking good for Philly Mixed Gym.
Oh, so now you just got to prove it to yourself, right?
It is. Yeah, you can see it now that it is Mixed Gym.
Because the Rocky silhouette is there on the wall. And then Tony's like, hey, Rock, remember that guy?
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing, just you and me. Age before beauty.
Yeah, age before beauty. So he's saying, you're older, you go before me because I'm prettier.
Okay. Yes. I've always loved that line.
I've used it throughout my life. I'd use this line. It doesn't make sense, but I've told people age before beauty. They look at me, what? What does that mean? I've used that throughout my life. I kid you not.
It sort of makes sense because you could assume that a young person is automatically beautiful because they're young. I mean, just young people but Carl is actually younger than Sly in real life.
Is he?
Yes.
Are you sure about that?
I am positive about that. He just had a birthday and he just turned, I think, 76.
Anything you say, Stanley?
I do all the work. Okay. I'll tell you, Paul, better go slow because you ain't as young as springtime no more.
I'm still young enough to whip your butt, Stanley.
Oh, yeah? Well, how are you going to do that? You taught me everything you know.
Almost everything. You got to remember now. You fight great, but I'm a great fighter. Huh? You ready?
So here comes the line that comes, you want to ring the bell, ding, ding. Again, a callback to the old Going the Distance podcast. That's how that show was always ended. Remember, that show ended with ding, ding. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm nostalgic for that.
Oh, absolutely.
No, our outro fits what we're doing now, right? Because I didn't hear no bell. We're continuing the show, but that's
does. Yeah. I also wanted to point out that this music that's over this fight is sort of the nostalgic, like, 70s stuff from Rocky II.
Yep. And here's the hint that's coming into part four. We're already seeing some of the foreshadowing where Paul says, you know what, Stanley, it's too bad we gotta get old, huh?
I say that all the time.
Yes.
Too bad we gotta get old, huh?
Just keep punching, Apollo.
There you go. Was that line ever used before this film? So was that the first time Rocky and now Sly always says this?
I think so.
Keep punching.
When did he say it before?
This is the first time.
Oh, this is the first time. Okay, I agree. Sort of two questions in one sentence. I apologize. Okay, yeah, this is the first time. So this is, of course, what Sly always says now. Keep punching. Mm-hmm. And lastly, there's another trivia question for you. Totally off. You can answer in the comments now if you want before we end. We're about to end. But is there a scene where Adrian talks to a woman
in Gloria. This movie? Yeah, I was gonna say Gloria. No.
Does she ever speak to her? Gloria speaks to Adrian, telling her to clean the cat cages. Does Adrian ever say dialogue to Gloria?
Maybe in the fifth film, you see them together.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and check that. That'd be the only other scene I'm not too familiar with. Do they speak to each other? Rocky and Gloria speak to each other.
Yes, because no, that's Apollo's wife that Brigitte talks to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good question, Ryan.
Thank you.
Adrian's sexist, in other words.
The term's called again? Yes. What's it called?
It's like, starts with a B. It starts with a B.
Okay. There's a certain term in literature or film where a female not speaking to another female, it's a certain term that people can find in movies. And I think Adrian falls under that category. I don't think she speaks to a female throughout the franchise.
The Bechdel test it doesn't surprise me about this movie, but the criteria for the Betchup, at least two women are featured.
Okay.
That these women talk to each other, that they discuss something other than a man.
That's right. So that definitely does not fall under Adrian. Mm-hmm. I don't even think she speaks to another female, but I don't think there's a scene of Gloria and Adrian speaking to each other. Like, hey, how's it going, Gloria? It's good to be at the Adrian.
If anything, she maybe has like a one word acknowledgement of like, okay, an affirmative agreement to Gloria in the
to close the shop or something. But yeah. I don't know. I don't even remember. So let us know, folks, does Adrian speak to a female throughout the whole series?
But either way, the franchise does not pass the Bechdel test, because even when women do talk to each other, they're talking about a man.
Yeah. Besides, they're sportsmen, not soldiers. Even there, they're talking about the men. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the men.
Yeah. What else would they talk about?
I love that. Though?
I mean, this is like a newer, I have not heard it. I've only recently started hearing about this test.
Oh, I've known about this for the longest time.
Oh, have you? I've only recently heard it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so weird, huh? More feminist than you are.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You know what that is? It's you're Canadian. You guys are just more sensible. And
And I always look for it now. It's actually kind of fun to do. Mm-hmm, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So just keep punching, Apollo.
Want to ring the bell?
Here we go. Our outro for the first podcast.
Ding, ding.
There you go.
Come on, Stan.
I love that he calls him Stallion.
Yeah, I love it too. I love it too. Boy,
the only reason they know each other is that name.
That's true. Oh, boy, you're looking good, Stallion. I taught you. That's a good point. Yeah, yeah. He found him because of the Italian. His name was the Italian sausage or something. He wouldn't have done it. Yeah.
Well, I think you taught me too good. Look at him fly.
Look out.
Fly.
You don't want any of this. Come on. Come on.
Maybe I'm in here with the wrong guy.
I love it. I have the painting, you guys. I have that painting.
That's awesome. That is awesome. All right. So there you go, folks. We finished it. We finished Rocky III. Now, just as a reminder, there is Rocky III trivia that we'll get to when I get back to Canada. So whatever that is, it's going to happen. But so we'll be doing Rocky III and IV trivia during season four. There's plenty of time for that. Again, for Rocky IV, my intention is to show the deleted scenes where they would fit in during our discussion. I think it might be the easiest way. So we'll make not necessarily the changes, because in the director's cut, long story short, of course, the Rocky robot's taken out. That's just not in that cut anymore. We don't have to speak to that. That's just it. It's just not there anymore. I think the biggest thing is there's a few extra scenes that are worth talking about, because it's just kind of cool just to revisit those during the timeline that they would have existed had they been in the actual cut. Okay. Other than that, any last thoughts here, guys, about Rocky III before we close shop on this season?
Revisiting it has shown me is that I have a far bigger appreciation for Rocky III than I have historically.
I agree too. I think so too. I think I've always felt this was kind of a weak film in the realm of Rocky films. It's a fantastic film, but compared to, no, I think there's a lot more here than I even gave it credit for. The death of Mickey and Sly, we talked about Sly's acting in this film. It's actually kind of fantastic. We don't think about that because of how over the top this 80s film can be, and the silliness with the slow beach run and all that stuff. Sly himself did some great acting during his turmoil scene, so to speak. Yeah. This is a fantastic emotional film. And it is actually a lot of people's favorites too. I mean, that's what I love about the Rocky franchise. Everyone has a favorite. There's people who love Rocky V the most. And I'm not even joking. There are people who love that film the most. Mm-hmm. I think it's great.
I like Rocky V. I never used to. Rocky IV used to be one of my favorites. It has fallen fast to near the bottom for me.
Oh, I'm so excited. And I can't wait. I love it so
much.
Katie,
I don't know how much you'd like Rocky IV if
it wasn't the first one I saw.
Asexual.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. If an unattractive man played Rocky, I don't think I would like the movie as much, like at all. Like, I'd be like, it's all right.
Another quite a hot take here as we close the season. It's full of hot takes. It's a tease for seasons to come. Rocky V is not even my bottom film. In fact, it's not even my second to last film. I have grown. Okay, put it this way. Rocky V has aged poorly the least.
Aside from the soundtrack.
Aside from the soundtrack, it's aged poorly the least. It has been a steady Eddie, for better or for worse, but is a more valuable film because of Part 6, but Part 6 is not as good as people say it is.
I agree.
And when we tackle Part 6, people might not like our coverage, because I have a lot to say about the film that isn't that great. I think there's a lot of great scenes and moments in it. You know, Beast in the Beast, we'll get to that. But as a film and a narrative, it is a heavily flawed. I think Rocky V is a better narrative than Part VI. That's me. I'm sorry.
I actually really appreciate Rocky V now. I've been sending Ryan and Katie stuff to prepare for Rocky V. Like, I'm not even thinking of doing Rocky IV. Like, I'm doing it out of obligation. I'm sure I'll enjoy podcasting with you guys, but I'm actually way more excited to do 5 than 4.
There is so much to talk about in Rocky IV. Oh my God, you guys.
Again, and always look at his abs or some shit.
You know what it is? I am barely going to be able to handle myself because it's... So Apollo looks great, but I'm not attracted to Carl other than like he's got a hot bod. Or Mr. T, but
I see the connection there. I see.
No, I was say, I didn't.
What's the common denominator there? Wow. Okay, could you
please? Why? Because one of my favorite people on the planet is Tupac Shakur.
We know. We're just teasing you.
And Morris Chestnut. Oof. But you guys, Yvonne, I think that if Dolph Lundgren brings so much, we'll get to it. But
we will. We'll get to it.
He brings a lot of great dialogue to that film.
Like, no, body acting is a huge body acting is great. There's actually I can't wait to talk about the exhibition fight because Dolph's body language in that fight's amazing. Yeah, we're gonna have some fun stuff with Part 4, season 4. So stick around, folks. Send us an email. If you're late to the show and you're whatever, just send us an email about any season you're on. We'd love to hear from you, no matter where you are listening to us. If you're binging and coming in late, that's fine. Yeah, season 4 is the next episode, folks. We're gonna get right into it. I'm excited, so let's do it. With that, though, this episode is over.
I did not hear no bell.
I just want to say one.